This is a Pinball News production.
The goal of Playfield Restoration is obviously to, you know, restore Playfield. This particular Playfield, it's most of these pictures in here are current Playfields I currently have in the shop, and right now I have maybe about 75, 80 Playfields currently being worked on. I use this Playfield as a good example because I actually have three of these Playfields in the shop right now, and I have them in different stages of the process. But the goal of Playfield restoration is to get a Playfield to look like this into Playfield that looks like this. This is actually the same Playfield. This is one of my, and this Playfield is not even clear coated yet. This is all the touch-ups and all the airbrushing to the wood grain and so on. That's another view of it, of the before shot, after. So the restoration process is, in this case, is my higher-end restoration, where we're doing all the wood grain, all the white areas, the insert stuff, areas that you don't even see. So obviously those are the goals of a restoration. The restoration process, I'm not going to talk so much about my business in particular, but I want to talk about what we do as far as the prep and the products that we use and just the whole process. Basically, when we get Playfield in, we remove any of the Mylar. We do not clear coat over Mylar at all. And we sand the surface. Depending on the type of Playfield, we use anywhere from 320 grit, a pretty aggressive grit, as fine as 800 grit. Your older, fragile Playfields, we tend to use 600, 800 grit. And Playfields that are factory clear-coated diamond plates or brand-new Playfields, IPB or Stern Playfields, we use 320 to bite into the clear coat that's already on there. We use Magic Eraser if needed, depending on the type of Playfield again. And then we use a red scuff pad or a maroon scuff pad to achieve adhesion for a bonding surface. You know, it's like a 3M Scotch-Brite scuff pad. Then the next process we do is you got to remove all the dust from the surface, remove all contaminants from the surface, like some people use naphtha here. We actually use a higher-end silicone wax remover. The problem with naphtha is that it can cause a fisheye problem. It's not as refined as some of the better silicone tar wax removers you could get out there. We wipe down the playfield with an anti-static rag. Do not use a sap-based tack rag. They tend to also add fish eyes to the problem. And then we base clear coat the surface. When we do playfields, we actually do them in a spray booth. And I run an auto body shop. This is my spray booth that I have. This is actually in a bake cycle right now, so the lights are turned off. But I typically do six playfields at a time, like you see in the shop here. The reason why I base clear coat, and a lot of people do not do this, they actually do all their touch-ups right on the factory surface. This playfield right here is from a customer who actually was an artist. He sent this playfield to me. He did all the touch-ups himself, and he used a Frisket masking paper. Got the playfield looking, you know, pretty beautiful, as what he called it. I didn't see his final. He pulled up his masking paper, and this is what happened. All the loose paint pulled up with it. So he called me up, sent me a picture of it, and he says, "Can you fix my playfield for me?" You know, it was perfect. It was actually not a very bad playfield, and I did the basic touch-ups to it, but now it looks worse than what it started as. So I got the playfield in. I sanded off all his touch-ups, and I did the whole process with in this case, I used 800 grit sandpaper, the scuff pad, and everything we just covered a second ago. And I got this thing base clear coated. And that particular playfield now is in process. This has been clear coated once, but that's that playfield that we just saw. All this was airbrushed and all cleaned up, and it still needs to be final clear coated, but that's it. The wood grain was done. We'll go more into that playfield in a few minutes. Another reason to base clear coat is to seal the surface. The problem with like a particular playfield like this is that if you were to airbrush and do all the touch-ups to the bare wood areas, the paint tends to suck in those bare wood areas, and when you clear coat on top of that, they tend to change colors because now the wood is sucking in some of the pigments, and you're going to get a different color, especially like in the blue area or the red area or the orange area up in here. if you don't base clear coat. And that's one of the reasons why I base clear coat. This play fill, which is another joker poker I got in, someone else actually did the clear coating on this one already. And my customer was complaining that it had adhesion problems. It was starting to bubble up. So I started to do some sanding to it, and I discovered that the base surface wasn't scuffed or sanded enough, and that's what happened to it. The clear coat was actually flaking away from the surface. So that's another reason why I try to achieve a better adhesion by using a pretty aggressive sandpaper and, you know, scuff pad and cleaning it all off. So basically, when it gets through the process and we clean it up and do a base clear coat, my particular playfields go to one of my artists. Currently, right now, I employ three artists for me. Back in the early beginnings, I had one guy. You know, he was marginally good. Now I have two high-end guys, and I have one more basic guy that I use. My artists use acrylic paint. If you use enamel, it may run, or if you try a clear coat over a Sharpie, you know, those tend to run. But we use all acrylic paints. You know, it's clear coat safe. We use Frisk and masking paper when we mask. When either clear coating, base clear coating, or even foul clear coating, here's the things you want to avoid. If you go on the internet, there's a lot of people out there who have YouTube clips about how to clear coat in your garage and everything. And one thing they always say to use some kind of smoothie, what they call a fisheye eliminator. Fisheye eliminator is actually a bad thing. When you do a play fill and you clean it and prep it, and the reason why you want to use naphtha or a silicone tile remover is remove the silicones off the surface. Well, fisheye eliminator works by adding silicone oil to it to make it flow out. And it works by lowering the surface tension by pre-contaminating the surface with basically silicone. They do make a non-silicone-based fisheye eliminator, but the problem with that is it lowers the adhesion and it lowers the final hardness of the clear coat. So if you do try to clear coat your playfields or have a shop do it for you, do not use fisheye eliminator. If your playfield is prepped correctly, you will not have fisheyes. And prepping it, you know, correctly is really cleaning it with naphtha or some kind of higher type of stuff and not using a tar base or a wax-based type of tack rag. Use an anti-static rag. A lot of people will sand and clear coat in the same room. It's a big no-no. It adds to fisheyes. It adds to dust in your play fields. Try to use a separate area if you do try to attempt to clear coat. Clear coating over overlay or large stickers is a kind of a no-no. I done this once. I did it on a black night for myself, you know, about 8 years ago. And I had good adhesion with my clear to the overlay, but the problem is over time, the overlay was losing a bonding with the wood underneath it. So it was starting to pull up, kind of like Mylar does. And that's one of the problems of clear coating over overlays or Mylar is that you kind of lose that adhesion between the sticker and the wood surface. And you also want to try to use very limited insert decals if you can. Another thing not to do is overbuffing. Overbuffing, it's kind of amazing. We did a test. If you take a playfill, and all my playfills that are in my booth right now are final buffed, but if you take a heat gun and someone's buffing a playfill and you actually see what the temperature is around the playfill as a buff, you know, you're hitting, you know, 130, 140 degrees. And if you're not careful and you overbuff, what happens is the inserts tend to shift underneath the clear coat, and now your flat surface, once it's buffed, heats up, and the inserts will shift. So when you do buff your playfield, just be careful of overheating the surface. We now offer three stages, and we've been doing this now for a couple years. When we first started, we did our playfields in basically one option. Someone would send me a playfill and you get it back. Well, we discovered that we had good competition, you know, 6-7 years ago. We had Playfield Renovations, we had Bill Davis. And they were very good companies back then. And we found that we charged $300 for a playfield restoration. They were charging $800 for a restoration. And people were saying, well, your playfield is not the same quality as theirs. And I'm like, well, that's not the goal. My goal was to give you a good product and a faster turnaround time for a cheaper price. Now what we do is we're the higher end company out of the ones that are out there, since Playfield Renovations doesn't exist anymore so much. And we offer three different stages. Most of our people pick stage two restorations, and most of the examples I have here are stage two. Stage three is basically a very high-end one. It's what a Playfield Renovation Playfield would be. You're going to pay extra for it. It's covering areas that are underneath plastics or rams. Stage two does cover that, but it covers that with more brush touch-ups. The main difference between stage two and stage three is that stage three is more airbrushing. Stage two still has airbrushing, but the more basic areas are brush touched up. Stage one is just basically doing touch-ups to the area that you can see that's not underneath plastics or ramps. It's just your main surface area. These joker pokers right here are since I have three of these in the shop right now, the one at the very beginning of the presentation was my stage three. These two playfields here are my stage one and stage two restorations. These are in process. These were clear-coated after the touch-ups. This playfield here is actually a stage two restoration, and I have before pictures of this. I don't think I have them with me on this presentation, but basically stage two covered all the playfield, even the wood areas in here, down in here. This is actually fake wood grain that was airbrushed back in, because on older EM games and early electronic games, since they're factory lacquer playfields, they tend to yellow in here and crack, so all this has been redone in here. The shooter lane has been redone. It's a totally flat playfield once it gets done. This one is still, it needs to be sanded again flat and re-clear-coated. And basically it was all done. If you look real closely, especially on our magnifying glass, you might see some of the touch-ups where a stage three will be hard to spot. Most of the time when you get this game or this playfield back in a game and you have the glass on it, it'll look like a brand new playfield basically. But that's a stage two restoration. Okay. A stage one restoration, which is the next joker poker, it still covers the basic center area, but it does less with the wood graining in here. This is all, a lot of this is still original in here. You might have some flaws over here that we left. The shooter lane was still done. The majority of the area in here was still done. And there might be some more basic touch-ups in here that was done. But it's still almost a complete airbrush. Some of the more detailed work might be brush touched up versus airbrushing on that one. And less of the wood grain that's hidden in here is not done at all. The same thing up in here. I think this wood grain up here was done because I think you see it, but this one over here was not done. So that's a stage one restoration. This is the stage three, which I don't have with me because it's back in my artist right now. My stage three restorations and stage two restorations, when I get them back from the artist, and this one has no clear coat on it currently, I look these playfields over, and unlike a few years ago where when they came back from the artist, I would clear coat them and get them done, now what I do is I quality control these, and if I see anything that's wrong with these, especially a stage three, they may go back to the artist two or three times until they get it right. Here's another playfield I have with me. This is actually a System 11 playfield, which I hate working on. Since I have three artists working for me, two of my guys claim that if I ever send them another System 11 playfield, they'll quit on me. System 11 playfields are extremely hard to work on. It's hard to make the inserts good. The inserts, the problem with System 11, like this Dr. Dude or a Diner playfield or any of the System 11 playfields are non-factory diamond plate, is that it looks like from the factory they used a belt sander on these, and you actually can see all the little lines and all the inserts going up. And the factory lacquer finish cracks those inserts, and when you clear coat on top of them, you have problems with adhesion down the road, and it starts to pull up or the cracks start to get worse. So the only real way to fix these is to take all the inserts out, replace all the insert artwork with stickers, and it's kind of a pain. System 11 playfields take about three times longer to do than like a WPC, like a Medieval Madness playfield, just because all the work that has required with the insert. And that's why I tend not to do them. Companies like CPR Classic Playfield Reproductions is now reproducing a bunch of the System 11 playfields like Earthshaker and so on. This is actually this playfield right here. This is a stage two restoration. It's not a perfect restoration, But it's a pretty near perfect. My stage three guy actually did this for me because he does my stage two and stage three stuff. So in this particular case, there's some airbrush fading that he had to do in here. And a playfield like Dr. Dude is has a lot of pixel dots throughout it. You can see the little pixels in the green areas here. So when you airbrush these areas, you're going to lose that. That's the aftershot, which we don't need to do. You know, it has this playfield here wear kind of everywhere on it. This white area in here was all cracked from the factory lacquer finish. So that whole area, all the white areas had to be redone. And pretty much this was almost a complete airbrush. I think all this in here was left original, but most of the stuff up in here and some of the fine detail work had to be redone in this one.
Question. Would stage three preserve the pixel dots?
No, not anymore. My current stage three artist, and I had a guy before that was my stage three artist, but he actually he died last year. He had a method of spraying through a screen to get that pattern back on there. And my new guy can't do that. Playful Renovations didn't do that either. They would just do the airbrush fades. It looks very nice. Actually, I think it looks better than the pixel dots. So like right in here, he did the fade from green to yellow and from orange to red. And he did all the fades in here correctly, pretty much. But I can't currently get that pattern back on there. This is the spray booth that I use at the shop. It's a downdraft heated spray booth. When we get done with our playfields and we actually bake them about 130 degrees for about a half hour, you actually don't have to do this step. I do this step to kind of speed up the process. Here's some of the equipment I use. This is actually my old gun. I use high-end spray guns. I use a Sada, if you know anything about spraying, a Sada 3000. That's my old 2000, which I got rid of. Here's my spray booth again. These are playfields that just got clear-coated. I have a new website right now. I always had the same website address, but about a month ago, I totally revised it, and I have about 24 examples of playfields, before and after shots. So it's much more intense than what it was before, and it goes through the differences between stage one and stage two and stage three playfields. Okay, who here currently owns a Elvis pinball machine? One person? Really? Just one person? Okay, well, come up here. I was expecting a little bit more than that. I wanted like four people, but who wants to own an Elvis playfield? Elvis pinball machine. Okay, you guys come up. I'll make it worth your while. It's not going to be something. Okay, since I'm going to answer some questions while they're up here doing this, but basically, they're going to win a playfield. That's why I wanted people to come up here. This is a NOS just Stern playfield that I re-clear coated, and it's just a giveaway for them. They have to list basically all Steve Ritchie games on their thing without cheating. So you guys got a few minutes to do it. Any questions up to this point about clear coating or the process?
So what's the big difference between one and two?
There's a Funhouse pinball machine in my booth right now. It's a stage one restoration. And I have pictures on my other computer that's running during the show that show all the before pictures of it. But stage one mainly focuses on this area right here. And it does do work up in here, but it's less intense just brush touch-up. It's less airbrushing than stage two. Stage two does more of it down in here. This was all kind of left. I think there was airbrushing in here because of the flipper burn or the flipper, you can see the flipper marks in here. Was so bad that this area had to be done. But stage one mainly focuses on what you see visually right in here. It may cover a little bit of stuff in here. If you look real closely, you will be able to pick up some of the touch-ups, especially up in here. This playfield is still an in-between process. It needs to be sanded and re-cleared to make it flat, because right now it's not totally flat. Price-wise, on a particular playfield like this, like a stage one of this playfield, and not all stage ones are priced the same way, but stage one on this might be $400 for the airbrushing, clear coat, everything. And the stage two of the same playfield they had an equal amount of wear might be about $100 more. Stage three playfields, since they go back and forth to the artist several times until they get them 100% correct, there's a lot more sanding, there's more clear coating involved, and that process is not really based on a set number. It's kind of based on time and materials with my guys. Since I am the owner of the company, my three artists actually work for me. They're not my partners, so I just pay them. They're full time with me. So stage threes are kind of like the price can change. Stage three is really for that collector that really wants a perfect above, you know, above original looking NOS playfield, and just a perfect playfield. Most people just go by with the stage two. A stage three might be twice the price of a stage two.
The initial sanding that you do,
yes,
that's to get the grime and the grit and stuff off there and level it out.
The initial sanding, the reason why I do the initial sanding, and I actually use a 6-inch air sander, DA sander here, is that I want to clean some of that up. And a playfield like that, like this one right here, I had to use some magic eraser to whiten some of these areas up. Since this is a factory lacquer playfield to begin with, it's more fragile than a new playfield or a diamond plate playfield. So I'll go less aggressive on sanding. I might use an 800 or 600 grit sand to sand away a lot of the factory lacquer on here, get away some of the dirt, maybe use magic eraser, and then I'll clean it with my silicone tile remover and get rid of, you know, some more dirt here.
Is burning the paint kind of a, does that happen? Is that just an acceptable loss?
Yes. Yes, there's a lot of times that I will take a playfill, and once I start sanding it, I'll actually will make it worse looking than what it came in as. This playfill had a bunch of loose paint right in the center, if you could remember what the picture looked like a second ago. So once I did some sanding in here, all the loose paint had to be chipped away and removed. So it looked actually quite a bit worse than what it looked like when the customer sent it to me. Did I answer your question? Okay. But really... really, the thing is to achieve a bonding surface, because you cannot, or you do not want these playfields to break apart down the road. There are, and we'll get into this in a second about turnaround time, but if you speed this process up too quickly and you rush it and you skip some steps, you'll have a bonding surface problem where the clear coat will start peeling up. It'll either peel up from other layers of clear coat or from the wood itself. Put that one down.
I'm sorry, just really quick. The pre-clear then after you do that?
Yes.
I guess my fear is the locking in of dirt or other things that now it's there forever.
Well, yes. If it's there, if it's locked in after that, it's airbrushed out during when it goes to the artist. Yeah, sometimes you have to leave some of that stuff. On that Dr. Dew playfield, a lot of that stuff was left because it was such a fragile playfield, and we removed as much as we can with sanding and scuffing it down, but we lost some of the artwork on it. We had to remove some of the old stuff, and it was airbrushed back in.
During the restoration process, do your workers wear special masks to have air evacuation system?
Yes. We have a downdraft spray booth, so we have a very high CFM of airflow going through. We actually wear respirators, a fresh air system. It plugs into the line and gives us fresh air. Yeah, clear coating at home is kind of a no-no, especially if you have an attached garage. Your wife will kill you if you do it. It's pretty nasty stuff. We use a very high solids clear. This is the clear that we use. It's made by BASF. It's a DC-92, and the stuff is nasty. If you read the back of it, it sounds very scary. Cancer this, cancer that, and yeah, you want to wear a respirator when you use this stuff.
And that water based or is it that water based or solvent based?
What now?
Is it water-based or solvent-based?
That's solvent-based. That's not water-based at all. That's solvent-based. That's actually, we use a three-part. There's actually the clear coat right here. There's a hardener, and there's a reducer. There's a cheaper version of a clear or other clears that have reducer and clear in one jar already, and then you add a hardener to make it hard. The working time on this is once you have it mixed, you have maybe a few hours until it starts to harden up. So you can't mix a lot of it. Mix what you need. Can I answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. You mentioned avoiding insert details. Do you have an alternative method to your brush?
Yeah, we do. Two of my artists, my stage two and my stage three guys, are actually pretty good about recreating artwork, especially on the easier playfields. On this, like, Big Indian here, I have before pictures where some of the, like, wind lit and other of the basic artwork on here was gone. They actually hand brush the stuff back in. We avoid using insert decals just because when you final sand it or down the road, the adhesion between the sticker and the clear coat, the base clear coat, may give you a problem. So we kind of hate using them. You kind of have to use stickers on newer playfields like on Medieval Madnesses if it's a very fine detailed artwork on it. But try to avoid not using insert decals. Yes.
How did you get interested in pinball?
I've been collecting pinball machines since about 12 years ago. And about 10 years ago, I got into the body shop business, and now I run a body shop. So I got this idea that I'm going to start clear coating my own personal games. And then once I started doing that, I had friends that wanted it done, and their friends wanted it done. So over that process there, I was doing it so many, and then I decided, well, maybe I should just open this as a business. And since I had, you know, Playfield Renovations and Bill Davis, I'll just be the third option. I'll be the lower price, quicker, 2-month turnaround time guy. Now I'm no longer that person. My turnaround time is not 2 months. It's more like 4 to 6 months. And I do it more as a I still run a body shop. I still do this almost as a full-time business. But since I do not do the artwork myself, I do the clear coating myself. When I first started years ago, all the clear coating was done from my shop painters. They actually would do clear coat from themselves for me. But I found out they would look at a play field, and not being a pinball person, they would just clear coat it. I look at a play field and say, well, this play field is the Adams family. It may need more clear in the cheer hole and so on. So I own a lot of the higher-end games, not so many of the EEM games. So I kind of know what to look for and what to do on play fields.
Do you do the depopulation?
No, I do not. When I want a playfield shipped to me, I want them shipped as a bare wood, both sides. You can leave the ground straps, the T-nuts on the back side. You should pull the T-nuts off the top side if it has any, or I'll remove them once I get them in. That just takes too much time. I can't spend 40 hours to put a playfield back together. Since I have 75, 80 playfields in the shop right now, it takes a lot of time. I do most of the sanding myself. I do all the clear coating myself, and that's almost a full-time thing.
Do you prefer your customers remove the Mylar before they send it in?
You can if you know what you're doing, but don't remove the Mylar if you've never done it before. I prefer to do it myself. Some people use the free spray method. Some use the heat method, and I kind of use both. It kind of depends on what type of play field it is. If you're uncomfortable about doing it, I don't really charge extra for it. I charge a price on a restoration. I don't say, well, this playfield needs this whole repair here or this repair, and it has Mylar, so Mylar is $10 extra, this is extra. I just charge per job. So if you're uncomfortable about leaving Mylar, just leave it on there. I'll take it off.
A religious question. What do you do about the inserts that have gone concave?
If they're real bad, I actually have a large supply of NOS inserts for a lot of the standard round and square shapes, especially for the EM games. Some of the more complex games I don't have inserts for, but most of the inserts that do that are the older EM games, and I have those. I can replace them. If they're very, very minor, the clear coat will level them out. Any other questions?
Have you worked with other clear coat products other than the automotive clears?
No, I have not. I've stuck with this stuff. This is stuff that we use in the shop, and I've stayed with this stuff. It's not water-based. I would not be comfortable about spraying anything else. I just want to stick with one product. I don't want to learn something that's new. Okay, let's go on here. Turnaround time. My turnaround time on like a stage two, stage one is about, depending on how bad it is, probably 2 to 6 months. If it's very, very minor, it might be 2 months. Most of my turnaround time is 4 to 6 months. I do not take a year. I've never probably taken a year. There's been a couple play fields that I have problems with locating inserts that may have taken longer, or someone tells me they're not in a rush for it. I kind of put it towards the back of the stack. So but most of my turnaround time is between 4 to 6 months. Turnaround time is kind of funny because there's one company out there now who's kind of gotten into clear coating play fields, and they guarantee like a 2-week turnaround time. Now, I'm not going to mention names or anything. You really can't do this whole process in 2 weeks. The cleaning, the base clear coating, if I were to get this play field in right now and start working on it today, cleaning it, and if I were to get base clear coated, I need to at least wait 1 week after the base clear coating before sanding it. You cannot sand it the next day, even though I bake them, which speeds up the process. And then if I give it to the artist, I can't do it in 2 weeks. If you do try to do a very quick turnaround time on a play field, and probably my funhouse that's in my booth right now is a good example of that. Since I own it, I was trying to rush it for the show. It was clear coated a week ago. That's why people can't play it. But when I put it back together, the clear coat was still kind of fresh. There's a flaw up in here where I messed up the clear coat because, you know, I was kind of in a time crunch to have it done for the show. But typically, every time you take it to the booth and clear coat it, you should at least wait a week, 10 days, 2 weeks. The longer you wait, the better. So since I have a good revolving selection of play fields always happening, when I do a play field, I have large drying racks, kind of similar to this right here. I have a rack that holds 100 of them. And they get clear coated, they go in the rack, and then I pull out the next batch and I sand those. So I always have different ones in different stages of the process. So if you speed it up too much, what happens is you have adhesion problems. There's someone that came to me yesterday that had a play field done in 2 weeks by a company, and I reading their website, you know, I think they say, you know, all play field restoration is $650. You know, they actually charge a little bit more than $650 to restore this particular play field. But I saw the result of their 2 week turnaround time. What happens is you lose your surface adhesion. It really has nothing to do with the quality of touch-ups, and the quality of touch-up on this particular playfield wasn't all that great. But since you have a metal ball rolling around on these, it's durability that you really want to go for. It's not so much having a perfect touch-up playfield that you could throw underneath a magnifying glass and say, well, gee, I can see the brush strokes here and there. It's not about that. It's about making a good, reliable playfield that won't fall apart down the road. Any questions about turnaround time or anything?
What would you recommend for a good restorer than for a System 11? For the guy that has no other option but to get it restored.
You know, my Stage 3 guy, my one artist out of the three of them, will do some System 11 non-factory diamond plate playfields. You know, he did that one doctor dude that's here. It's quite expensive. You know, you're going to spend probably approaching $1,000 to have it done. I don't like doing too many of them. They just take a tremendous amount of time, about three times the time of a regular restoration. And the durability of them holding up, especially if you have to remove all the inserts and put stickers on them, which I'm not a big fan of. You know, I like to say that these playfields will hold up. And if you want to live with the fact that there might be problems down the road, no, we always could risk it, but I kind of avoid not doing it. Either find a better play field, like a diamond plate version of that, or XR7, you know, clear coated version of that System 11, or wait for classic play field reproductions to come out with that. You know, they are trying to release different System 11 play fields.
Do you run across play fields sometimes that people are getting? I mean, do you offer the service of, hey, I found you a play field that we can restore?
Back in my earlier days, I was going on eBay and Craigslist and going to pinball shows and buying a bunch of used playfields to restore. Most of those playfields I still have. They're still unrestored. All my playfields that I personally own go to the back of the list. I got playfields I have started 3 years ago I have not finished for myself. And since my playfield drying racks only hold 100 playfields, all those unrestored playfields are just stacked up behind my racks. I really don't have room for them. If I know that I own the play field, it's not going to be touched. And, you know, I hate saying that, just that my customer stuff has to come first. The same thing with the games I own. I own mainly, you know, WPC games, and only a few of them are clear-coated. Just I don't have time, especially to take them all apart and clear-coat them. your stuff comes first.
Have you ever done a Matahari?
Yes, I have. Yes. There is pictures of that on my website. Let me see if I can find it here. Hold on a second. We did this playfield about a year ago. This is actually the after shot of it. The before version is... There's what it looked like when I first got it in, an overall shot of it. You can see where it says collect bonus. The C was partly missing. It had your usual wear throughout the whole playfield. And then once it got done, it looked like that. All the wood grain have you redone and other pictures of it. Let's see here. There's a better shot of the collect bonus. That's the after shot. That's what it looked like before I did it. That's the sword afterwards. That's what it looked like before. This one had a lot of chipping, throughout the pink areas, the yellow. It had some ball marks that had to be removed, which you can see right here are gone. That's the upper shot when it was done. That's what it looked like when it came in. This one had a lot of insert wear, and some of these were a little bit dished, especially the arrows. The clear coat on this one just filled them in because they weren't that bad. That's a shooter lane. Shooter lanes, if you prefer me not doing this, some people don't want them done that way, just tell me when I restore. I don't have to do it this way. My process could be made to order. You could say just leave the shooter lane the way it was. I try to sand them out as much as possible, and if I think that they sand out and look pretty nice, and when I clear coat them, they look good, I do leave them. This one looked like that, and even though most of the dirt got out of it, it would look weird being just clear coated, so I kind of did refinish this one. Yes?
What stage would that be considered, that restoration?
That was a stage two restoration. Most of these playfields that are stage two are what you guys may consider a pretty well-restored playfield. If you throw this under a magnifying glass and start to really nitpick it, yeah, you're going to tell that it was touch-up here or there. This playfield is probably better than an NOS playfield. NOS playfields still have issues. Especially if this was an NOS Matahari that was factory lacquer, which they all were, all the whites would be yellowed anyway, usually, even NOS ones, and you might see some cracking or some checking in the wood and so on. So this is a stage two. This was probably about a $500 restoration, maybe $500 or $600. I can't remember exactly what I charged on it.
Do you have any comments on old EM playfields? Anything different that's done with those or BSP? Do you get involved with those?
Yeah, I do. Playfields like this. I think the oldest playfield I have right now, and it was actually in my presentation, was a Gottlieb Glamour. It was a Glamour, 1950 Gottlieb. I guess Glamour is a pretty collectible game. I know very little about EM games, but that playfield there will be a stage three restoration. But I do probably half my playfields I get in are EM games. A couple years ago, it was probably 90% of your newer games and very little EMs. Now people are sending me EM playfields. The problem with doing an EM playfield is that EM playfields may play slightly different being clear-coated. A clear-coated playfield will play somewhat the same down the road. You might have to get 100 games on it to break it in somewhat. It's kind of like playing on a fresh bowling alley that just got waxed. There's kind of a learning curve with playing it, and some games are almost unplayable clear-coated. They just play too flat, too fast. So you may want to consider that when you do an EM game. It may change the play to be undesirable, and sometimes they may play better.
So what about maintenance, though?
Since I use an automotive clear coat, you could do anything to these that you would do with a car. You could, when I do these playfields and I sand them and glaze them at the very end, since these playfields still should be the whole hardening clearing process, as far as drying, may take up to 6 months to fully get hard, where they're dry to the surface, the touch. These playfields, you should not really wax them for at least 60 days, at least maybe 6 months maybe. Let that air coat breathe out. Use any kind of clear coat finish enhancer. I use Mist and Shine or other companies make. It's just a clear coat spray. That's what I use to wipe them down with. You could use a paste wax if you want to. It doesn't really matter. They're pretty durable.
Yeah, I notice how glossy, shiny the clear-coated playfields are. So is that a function of the particular product you're using? Do different clear-coat products provide different levels of gloss?
Yeah, you could get a matte type of clear. I don't use them. This is my only option. So if you want that, you know, don't use my service. They will dull up over time. You know, they will. The thing about clear coat of play field is once you start playing on them, you will see, get your average ball marks back on them, your black ball trails, but they're going to wipe right off. If they don't wipe off, you actually could rebuff them and get rid of them. The clear is actually relatively thick to a point. I don't go overly thick on them. My thickness of clear coat kind of depends on what the play field requires. I don't say that I put two coats of clear on them or four coats of clear on them. This play field here was base clear coated with two coats of clear, sanded flat, so a lot of that clear coat was removed, sent to the artist. He gave it back to me looking like this. I re-clear coated it. I sanded it again. So right now what you're seeing here is a sanded play field that's being prepped to be clear coated again. This has been scuffed down. It's been sanded with the DA sander. And it'd be re-cleared probably with two more coats of clear and then buffed. But since you're doing a lot of sanding in between the steps, I can't really say that this play field has six coats of clear on it. Probably half of them got sanded off, so it might only be three on it when it's done.
Well, right now, that one right there has no gloss to it, so when you're finally done, will it?
Yeah, because this play field here had gloss, kind of like the Joker Pokers here. This play field, since I took it home and I used my scuff pad and my DA sander on it, I'm trying to scratch this surface so when I re-clear coat it, I have a good bonding surface for the next stage of clear coat to stick to it. And then that will be gloss. If you were to take this play field and use different levels of sandpaper and buff it, it would shine. Why? Would you be just tempted to take it back this way? And
well, with older EM games,
okay.
Some collectors get them clear coated and they say they're restoring it to new, but actually new didn't even look that shiny.
Yeah,
I'm thinking, does the process of clear coating, is it just something we're stuck with that we have to have that highly reflective surface?
You know, there's really nothing wrong with taking this play field right now and putting it in a game and living with this. You lost the gloss to it, and if you want the gloss back, you probably could buff it and get it back. So I guess you could do it that way. They do make matte type of clears that I do not use to do it. I don't want to experiment with different types of clears.
Well, I think for an AM, that would look better than the gloss.
So. Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. So if you want that done, I could do it and ship it back to you that way. It's
durable as what the clock.
Yes, it is. This is durable because it has the clear on it. Right now, this particular play field, if I run my hand over it, you actually could probably feel the inserts in the center.
So that,
yeah, I feel them, yeah.
Yeah, clear coating that one more time will get rid of that. Because this was clear coated twice already.
It would add that gloss. It would add that high gloss. See,
well, it would add high gloss to it, and then I could sand it again and knock it flat, and then it would still be flat with no gloss on it. Yeah, right now. Yeah, there's dust on this right now. There's dust on this right now.
I'd prefer that finish to an AM than...
I would.
Okay.
I would too.
Well, that's possible. Yeah, that's possible. Yeah.
I reckon that would look a lot better on an AM.
It's more natural.
Yeah.
No, I agree, yeah.
So that's been clear coated. Then all you've done with that, you've scuffed it.
Well, yeah, I scuffed it. I sanded it with, in this case, I used 320 on it because it was already clear coated. All the touches are locked in here right now. Yeah, I can't peel any of this off.
The high gloss seems more fitted to the newer games because they make the play field.
Well, yeah, I agree with that, yeah. Some people want glossy EM games.
But if you could do that, that'd be good to know that you could do that.
Yeah, I could do that. I've never done it before. That's still as durable as a clear coated play field because it is clear coated. I would be more comfortable clearing that one more time just to get it more level. I know even from the factory that you run your hand over an NOS playfield, you're going to feel all the inserts. This one doesn't have any rough edges, so the paint's not going to chip up or anything like that. And it's pretty flat the way it is, except, you know, one more time of clear will get these totally flat where you don't even feel them.
And then you said you could, if someone asked, you could buff out the shine?
Oh, yeah, you could buff that out, yeah. Yeah.
You had mentioned about the cure time being about 6 months, so if we were to get a play field cleared, we should probably ideally wait that long before you put it into your machine and start playing on it? Or?
Well, you probably should wait. You could, if you're real careful and not overly tight in your post and your other brackets and so on, you could take a play field that was clear coated. I'm not going to send it back to you wet anyway. I'm probably going to send it back to you 2 weeks after it was clear coated and buffed. So you're going to get a pretty dry surface anyway. I don't ship playfields back right away when they're done because I like them to air dry. If I were to ship this back, it might have box marks on this from shipping it. Or if I wrap it in bubble wrap, you're going to see those marks on it. sits and mar it all up. So I at least wait 2 weeks for that. So when you get a play field back, it's at least been done 2 weeks, if not a month. Some of my play fields are done longer than that. You could start assembling it right away. Just don't over-tie in your post on it. If you over-tie in your post, it's going to happen what my funhouse looks like in my booth right now. There's one spot where the clear is kind of like funky looking because it was clear coat a week ago, basically. And I spent the last couple nights of putting it back together.
How long did you
play on it? You should at least wait additional 3 days after that, if not 6 months. The longer you wait, the better. Since I do bake these, and some of them may have more clear than others, a playfield like this, like right now, this is does not have as much clear than that System 11 Dr. Dude that's in that case. You probably want to, if you were to install that System 11 playfield, that Dr. Dude, that has a lot of clear on it because they had insert problems, you probably want to wait longer on that particular one to play on it, because this clear might still be soft behind here. This probably went to the booth maybe 6 times for clear coating, but a lot of that was sanded off. This playfield is totally flat. This playfield has not been buffed yet.
Is that a 3?
No, it's a 2. It is a 2. The problem with, well, you know, I would consider this almost near perfect, and you're going to get that collector who says, well, this area right here that's hidden behind the plastic underneath the post, you can still see. You get those, and that's why I have a stage 3. Stage 2 is good enough for most people, but you have those people that want everything absolutely perfect on it, and they don't want that part that's hidden somewhere, and that's why I have a stage 3. Most people don't want to pay for it. It might have additional turnaround time, might be 8 months on it, maybe closer to a year, depending on how backed up my stage 3 guy is. Out of my 3 artists, I only have 1 guy who does my stage 3. My stage 3 guy also does System 11 playfields, and he does stage 2 stuff for me. He's my main guy, and then I have another stage 2 guy that only does stage 2 and stage 1, and then I have a very basic guy that does my stage 1 stuff.
Do you have any problems with blanking 80 spheres from Valley that you have with the System 11 game?
No, I do not, and I think the problem with System 11 games, I know that System 11 games are also factory lacquered, just like System 7 games or early Bailey games. I think when they did these from the factory, you see belt sanding marks all in the inserts, you know, going this direction up and down, and that is what gives, I think, the inserts a problem. Even I have in my booth right now, I got a Riverboat Gambler. It's a factory diamond plate Riverboat Gambler, which is a System 11 play field. There's no lacquer on it. I re-clear coated it, but if you look at the inserts, it still has those lines on it from the factory. I didn't get rid of them. They're still there. And since it was not factory lacquered, it's not going to have the same adhesion problem as a regular System 11 lacquer play field would have. Is it all right?
Yeah. Check. I don't know where.
Okay, who's Lindsay? You won a play field. Now, you could take this right now, or I could take it back to the booth and actually put it in the box. I have boxes for it. I don't have boxes here in this room. But you could take it now and bring it back to my booth if you want. Grab it later. I have your name and everything. Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks. Any other questions?
When you're talking about System 11 game to being factory lacquered, are you talking about the artwork, or is there actually a layer of clear that's on those that provide a clear lacquer?
Well, System 11 games, the ones that are non-diamond plate, are the ones that say XR7. XR7 is like a prototype of clear coat on the playfield surface. Those are factory lacquer playfields, no different from any of the EM games or any other games. It's not the lacquer that gives a problem. It's the lacquer that's on the sanded inserts that give a problem. And that's what gives a durability problem. If you don't address the inserts on a System 11 playfield, you have adhesion problems down the road, and you get more cracking, and the clear coat starts to bubble or crack, or it doesn't look right. You see all the cracks.
Question on airbrush. To me, an airbrush is just a smaller version of the big gun that you spray the clear with. Can an airbrush be actually dialed down to do that in detail? Small, narrow lines and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Well, you can, but the idea behind that is you want to mask off those areas. So even though you have a wider pattern, it's a lot of masking. That's the biggest thing about touch-ups, is that it's a lot of masking. It's masking off entire areas.
That's what I'm wondering, to find a way to avoid doing that.
Like this big Indian playfield here. You know, a lot of these areas here had to be masked off in blue or red and done individually. Some of the fine detail work in the leaves here were actually hand brushed back on. But this is a stage two restoration.
Curious, what's the strangest playfield you ever got in, and you wondered why in the world did anybody restore it?
The strangest playfield. Yeah, there are some playfields I would consider not worth restoring because you're charging, you know, $500 or $600 to restore a playfield. That's a $500 or $600 game. Some of these EM games I kind of question because I don't know what their real value is. This big Indian, this guy who owns this one, I guess it's the Gottlieb game. It was like a family heirloom or first game he'd ever played on. So I don't know the value of this one. I've never done one of these before. I would consider this one not worthy. I don't know, but the guy loves the game. Joker Poker, I've never seen any Joker Pokers until this year. For some reason, I got three shipped to me almost at the same time. It's the weirdest thing. They go in weird spurts. I've had seven Addams families shipped to me all within the same month, you know, and then I see a big dry spot because probably Illinois Pinball came up with a reproduction. Hey, going back to reproduction playfields, that's one thing I forgot to add. Illinois Pinball reproduction playfields, they do a good service to restore a playfield, actually, to give you a brand new playfield. There are factory flaws in these playfields. They're not perfect. Their clear coat is less to be desired. It's more of a base clear coat. This is the Illinois Pinball reproduction playfield, and they did not bevel the cheer hole correctly here. These pop bumper base holes here are too small, so these had to be drilled out. And for some reason, they always leave this big blank spot here for the serial number, and I wished when they did these playfields, they would just leave this out and not have artwork in here. So you get these ugly looking playfields that have a big, I think, purple box here. So what I do, this is an IPB playfield, I get these playfields, I sand off as much of their clear as possible, I put the number back in here, the serial number, this is a sticker, just like what Williams used. Williams has a sticker here too, and I add the word diamond plate back in. Because most of your Addams families that are not Addams family golds actually say the word diamond plate down here. So this is a service I offer too. Unlike the previous generation IPB Addams families, you know, these playfields are pretty much the correct colors in here, up in here. This pattern's correct. You know, pretty much it is. They are, you know, factory drilled and dimpled already. So I don't do too much of that anymore. But I do add the numbers in here, and I add the sticker, and I do fix some of the issues that this playfield may have. And that's, I think, a $300 service I offer. And that includes the clear coat, too. You know, the problem with IPB playfields, and I've seen this more. You can put that back down. That playfield did it to me, too. For some reason, when I'll get these IPB playfields, and Medieval Madnesses, too, I've been doing lately, I'll start sanding those playfields down with 320, knocking off the clear. I'll red scuff pad them. And then I'll take my blow gun and start blowing off all the dust. And then all of a sudden, big sheets of clear flake right off. Not my clear, they're clear. So they have an adhesion problem. So it kind of scares me down the road because I am clear coating over par of their clear. I'm sanding a lot of it off, but I can't sand all of it off because I don't want to damage the screen artwork underneath it. But I've seen where, and it's happened to me maybe six times already, on playfields where I scuff them down, I take a blowgun to them, and I'm blowing off big sheets of their clear to it. So they do have an adhesion problem to them. So when you put these playfields back together, especially if I don't re-clear coat them, be careful with these IPB playfields because the clear coat does tend to have an adhesion problem. I've never seen this problem happen on a creature playfield from them, but on Anna's family and on Medieval Madnesses, it has been a problem. One question left. Anything?
Have you seen any problems with safety art playfield?
Yes, I have. Classic playfield reproductions, their first generation of playfields, were a thinner playfield. The clear coat was pretty bad. After, I think, Black Knight playfields they did, they went to a different wood, so a lot of those problems were addressed. But I, at my booth right now, I have a CPR Black Knight playfield that's untouched by me. And if you run your hand over it, you could feel the very thin clear coat. There's a couple inserts that may even chip if you hit it with your nail right. And then I have another playfield next to it, which is a CPR new playfield that I re-clear coated, and you could definitely tell the difference between the clear. The problem with the Black Knight playfield is, in the earlier versions of that, the ones they came out with prior to that, is it's not just a simple sand and scuff and clear coat once. I have to do them twice or even three times just because there's some leveling issues on there. It's their clear coat they put on the earlier generation ones are a problem. The new ones that you buy from CPR have a better clear coat on them. It's still thin, so it may need to be re-clear coated.
I work for CPR, so I know the difference. First generation, we did it in-house. Second generation, we've been shipping them all out.
Okay. You know, you guys provide a good service, and, you know, you charge $600 for a play fill approximately. You cannot afford to do what I do on a play fill. I charge $200 for that service, so you can't add to the cost of it. And that's just something you have to live with. And if you want a thicker clear, you send it to me. But you guys do a good job for what you're trying to do for the price. Okay, well, thank you. If you have any questions, I'll be at my booth for the next couple of days, and I'll have some samples with me. And thanks.